Good morning. Good morning and welcome to the Westfield Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, affectionately known as WUF. I'm Salima Monson. My pronouns are she and her, and I am overjoyed to be your lay leader this morning. Unitarian Universalist congregations worldwide affirm and promote seven principles which we as a denomination hold as strong values and moral guides. We connect with these values with what we call a living tradition of wisdom and spirituality drawn from sources as diverse as science, poetry, scripture, and personal experience. Here at WUF, we are blessed with a diversity of beliefs, and we embrace and celebrate all of them. And that means you. You and yours. Whether you're just stopping by as you go through town, or searching for a faith community, or if you've been a card-carrying Unitarian for 50 years. Okay. Is that better? Okay. Thank you. We aim to please. So, regardless, you are welcome here. You are welcome here regardless of who you are or who you've been. Regardless of how you pray, if you do, and no matter the color of your skin, whom you love, or how you identify your gender. So again, welcome, and please be sure to join us downstairs for coffee, and today for group soup and a special conversation in Forest Hall about how we and other like-minded community activists can build relationships that will help us move forward together through troubled times. Now, every now and then, it is my privilege to host a Sunday service called This We Believe. It's an opportunity to hear from a small gathering of woofers who share a common interest, whether it be science, the arts, or just similar journeys that have brought them to where they are today. And this is one of those Sundays. It's one of those Sundays, and I am so glad that you're able to be with us, whether you're here in the sanctuary, downstairs, watching on the big screen, or at home, watching online. That you're spending the next hour with us exploring the role that creativity plays in the lives of some of WUF's artists. So, let's get this celebration underway by singing together from the Gray Hymnal, number 354, We Laugh, We Cry. And thank you, our beloved pianist Betsy Weston and our song leader today, Dan Boyce. You can stand as you're able in body or spirit, and let's sing.
Thank you.
while we're up, let's take a minute to turn and greet each other, especially if it's somebody you don't know. But let's also take a minute. Hard to quiet down. But there'll be time downstairs for furthering these conversations. And now we're going to get started with Eleanor.
Good morning, I'm Eleanor Claggett. For me, creativity is an exchange with the world that is similar to breathing. I inhale by attending to my surroundings, gathering up shapes, colors, and textures, noticing wordless feelings and ideas as they come, and seeking patterns. I exhale by putting something of that back into the world. A picture, a lesson plan, a bedtime story, made of the same materials I've taken in, but now in a different order. Sometimes the order feels true, and sometimes it doesn't. Like breathing, my creative process can be shaky or even, fast or slow, shallow or deep. But also like breathing, the most important thing is for me to keep doing it.
Keep doing it. Settle in now, and as Gil lights our chalice, the symbol of our shared and scattered faith, let us share the responsive reading that's on the screen. I'll start. As we light our chalice this morning, may the flame remind us that this house is for the ingathering of all nature, human and otherwise, a welcoming space that embraces both struggle and celebration, that guards the dignity and value of every person, including children, each one loved and respected exactly as they are. This house offers a platform for these voices and the mutually respectful expression of conflicts of opinion. It is a house of truth-seeking, where scientists can encourage devotion to their quest in community with humanists, pagans, and spiritual seekers alike. It is a house of art and music, where our shared ministry is enhanced by new ideas and creativity. It is a house of prophecy, outrunning times past and times present with its ever-evolving vision of growth and progress. This house is both the cradle for our dreams and the workshops that brings our dreams to life.
I'm Susan Frommeyer, and I have thought a lot about creativity and how it affects my life. Can you hear?
It was. Takes a minute. Okay. I'm Susan Frommeyer. I have thought a lot about creativity and how it affects my life. It lives in every part of me and really comes forth whenever the thought, idea, or action presents itself. It is truly living in the moment. And often a total surprise which I love. Creativity isn't just a painted picture, a photograph, a music score. It is a smile. It is being touched or touching someone. No one is without creativity. It is within each of us. It is the gift of life.
Mm-hmm. Let's not hesitate to accept this gift of life. Let's not stop showing up for whatever comes next. And let's get Karen to come up and help us loosen up and relax those tense muscles and bones. Why don't you take this one, Karen? Thanks. Okay, now we're ready.
Loose and loose and baby, you don't have to carry the weight of the world if your muscles and bones let go, let go, let go. Loose and loose and baby, you don't have to carry the weight of the world in your muscles and bones. Let go, let go, let go. Loose and loose and baby, you don't have to carry the weight of the world in your muscles and bones. Let go, let go, let go.
Hello, I'm Carol Imani, and can you hear me? Oh, good. Okay, I wrote this poem for this service. It's called Triplets. Creativity, joy, and spirituality are sisters. Triplets, in fact. They could also be brothers, depending on who they find themselves within. Wherever you go, they go with you, murmuring to one another about the vast beauty of the sky, or those white speckles on baby deer, or the sacred abundance of the green grass as it turns a soft, thick yellow. Art is, of course, a way of saying, thank you. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. And also of telling yourself, I think I'll just be now and always and forever exactly who I want to be. And also of telling everyone else, you too, each and every one of you can be now and always and forever exactly who you want to be.
Thank you, Carol. Creativity, joy, and spirituality are indeed siblings. And art is a way of saying thank you, thank you, thank you. Here in America, as flawed and fragile as we seem to be, we have much to be grateful for. Just look out the window. We have rain and green and everything we could want right here. And we're here today on sacred land that was once stewarded by our country's original peoples. And for that, we, and perhaps especially our children here at WOF, who are studying nature in this year, are grateful. So if what nurtures and nourishes you is a quiet walk through quiet trees on a rainy day, you may want to stay a while and make your way around our little forest as you prepare for what I'll bet is going to be another busy week. Perhaps the gratitude you're feeling is for the comfort of community that you experience here, or support you've received when you needed it. Whatever it is, I invite you to take these next few minutes as we gratefully receive whatever financial offerings you may wish to make, to reflect not only on what it is you're grateful for, but what it is that you might have to give. We all have gifts to share beyond what goes into the offering basket. And we welcome yours, even if it's no more than a smile or a hug. We are grateful for you and for us. Our offering takers this morning are from our children's group, and we are going to let them gather. Speak together our affirmation of gratitude and giving. Let us be grateful. Children who are not already seated up front, you want to come forward and down for our time for all ages.
Thank you. Yeah, go ahead. You can have a seat there. Good morning, everybody. My name's Izzy. Sometimes people call me Liz. My pronouns are yes and. Today, we're reading a book called A Kid's Book About Creativity. Are there any kids who know how to read real English words that want to help read the book today? Wow! All right. You guys can come stand right here in front of me, and we'll take turns. You'll need to face the screen so that you can see the words on the screen, and I will hand you the mic when it's your turn, and you can read something, okay? A Kid's Book About Creativity by Sarah and Stuart Scott Curran.
This is a book about creativity. Creativity is like a superpower, but one way that everyone has.
You want to unlock your creativity superpower and learn how to use it every day. In both big and small ways.
When I was a kid, people told me I wasn't creative, and I believed them. because I wasn't the best at drawing, singing, painting, or writing stories. Even my mom never hung my artwork on the fridge.
But when I was a kid, everyone told me I was creative all the time.
Because I was always good at drawing, painting, writing stories, and making things. My artwork always won a prize.
Most people think you're either going to be good at those things, or you're not.
But what if being creative was more than just drawing, singing, writing, or painting well?
What if there were thousands, thousands, thousands of ways to be creative?
So many, in fact, that there's more than enough to go around.
Creativity is just being original.
Taking your own approach to something, bringing your own point of view, doing something in a way only you could do it.
You are creative.
Did you choose your own outfit today? Did you eat breakfast today? Did you hang out with a friend this week? Did you play a sport today? Did you do any math lately? Each of these can be done in a creative way, you know.
You could have one-of-a-kind style in your outfit, or maybe you'll put barbecue sauce on your breakfast. Maybe you invented a new game with a friend. Did you think up a new move to try doing soccer? Did you solve a math problem in a new way? All of these are examples of
creativity. And if you did even one, that makes you creative.
Can you think of some other ways you can be creative?
What about trying your shoes in a different way? Posing for a picture? Dancing in public, even when no music is playing? Not being afraid to get messy or weird or be super silly?
What about making up new words to a song? Only walking on squares, not the cracks of the sidewalk. Making your hair into a shampoo, my walk during bath time. Pretending the sand at the playground is lava. Be careful not to touch it, oi.
You are unique, creative, and original. And that is awesome.
Showing who you are in big and little ways is an expression of your truest, most creative self. And when you do that, the world is happier and brighter place.
Thank you for helping us read that. Yeah, creativity is so important, and kids are so, so good at it. Some of you might remember, yeah, you can stay right there. Some of you might remember in the summertime that our kids did some fundraisers. They made some baked goods, they made some art and some jewelry, and they sold it during coffee hour. And then we made a big list of all the things they might do with that money that they raised. And the thing they decided to do was to help other people, which is amazing. They also voted to buy their own snacks, but they also wanted to help other people. And so this December, they'll be taking this January, they'll be taking the money they used in the summertime and helping out with the Wolf Sock Drive. That is what they decided to help out with. They'll also be putting their, you know, creative minds to work in December for our Super Sunday. We have a the history of in the history of Unitarian Universalism, a man named Thomas Bird helped fund the first Society for the Humane Treatment of Animals in the United States. And so the kids will be doing a fundraiser for the Oregon Humane Society in December. They'll be cooking dog biscuits and selling them, and then they'll even get to go on a tour at the Humane Society to see what all of their good, hard work, how that goes to helping animals. So being creative is not just making art, but you can see all their artwork downstairs in the new kids' gallery. It's also, we can also be creative in the ways that we help our community. Now, if you would like to, if you are able to, form arches across the aisleway, and we're going to sing This Little Light of Mine as the kids go out. You got that, Betsy? She's got it. Show the words.
Boy, did I wish I had that book. I'm Zanna Martin. For me, creativity is that spark of inspiration that put into action. As Eleanor talked, it's breathing in and breathing out. Inspirare is Latin for to breathe. It comes during a walk in the woods on the third page of a journal. It comes when I'm doing meditation or perhaps even a dream. It's that amazing thought that comes to you or that solution to the problem that you've been working on. We all have it. We all have creativity. And some of us, perhaps given that book that we just saw, are given permission early to explore creativity. And others of us have to wait for the debits and credits of our lives, I was an accountant, to equal before this miraculous force sort of erupts. Your sisters are the artists. I was in an artist sandwich with older and younger sisters. My father said this oft-repeated family role designation to me, and I was over 50 when he said that to me. I replied then and now, yes, no, Dad, they just had more practice.
Opening hymn and spoke together in our responsive reading. In this house, we come together to laugh and to cry. Thank you for that demonstration. To laugh, to cry, to sing, to dance, and to grieve. In the next bit of time, as we move into this morning's presentation, we each have the opportunity to come forward if you'd like, and to transfer whatever joy or sorrow, whatever wish, celebration, or remembrance you are holding in your heart this morning, to transfer it into a stone, place it into the water of compassionate community, where the joy may be multiplied and the sorrow divided. If you're comfortable saying a few words, you are welcome to do that. And once everyone has returned to their seats, we will sit quietly for a couple of minutes of reflection, meditation, or prayer, as may be your practice. And from there, we will go directly into today's This We Believe. So come, if you will, down this aisle and across. And I'll be here with the microphone.
My joy is that my beloved Aurora Chorus has two concerts after Thanksgiving. And my sorrow
Uncle John, rest in peace.
I mentioned last week about my childhood friend from Jerusalem coming for a visit. She came. It was wonderful. Little did I know that it was going to be a spiritual journey for me.
This stone is for the marking of 51 years since the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And this one for all the joys and sorrows that have remained in the silence of our heart this morning. We still share them. Bent over, kneeling, silenced by the requirement for a proper voice. My heart beating the only rhythm it knew, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa. I begged for a sign, a light, a way to see my own face. But stained glass, shadowed in candle flame, diminished even the rough sketch I carried for reference, diminished everything but my despair. On the last fray of a rope flung across the sill of a high window, I descended into a crowded, noisy marketplace, pushing, shoving, struggling to cross bridges jammed with relics abandoned and too twisted to reclaim. Until finally, not knowing how I got there, I felt my way into the shelter of a deep and silent forest. I felt my way into the shelter of a deep and silent forest, where every now and then a slender shaft of light opened a small window to joy, where tear-filled streams revealed mirrors in the darkness. And here I came to rest free, to lie quiet beside those clear streams, to drink from them and bathe in them, delighting in my own reflection, renewed and restored. My body redeemed, rejoicing in its poetry, my soul bearing witness to its own light. rejoicing in its poetry, my soul bearing witness to its own light.
Difficulty with the technology, but it's going, I guess. I'm an artist today for a number of reasons. First of all, I loved kindergarten. In kindergarten, you could play with clay, you could weave potholders, you could paint with thick, bright colors dripping off the easel. It was so much fun. I'm an artist today because of a workshop, There Must Be a God Who Weeps. And it was here that I was handed newsprint and cheap watercolors and brushes that were all squished down and had no points. And we were encouraged to express the inexpressible. I'm an artist today because of Julia Cameron and her book, The Artist Way. And here she encouraged many of us who didn't even dare put the name artist upon ourselves to think about what we had to offer to the world and to ourselves. And she offered up this prayer: Creator, you take care of the quality. I'll take care of the quantity. And I had that in a big, bold piece of paper in my unheated attic for years, where I began to make stuff. And then I'm a fiber artist because I'm from a long line of fiber artists, beginning with my great-grandmother and probably before. She could make anything. And I was taught to knit and sew and to make beautiful things, and that encouraged me on to weaving and dyeing and printing fabric. I'm curious and I love new techniques, and I wish I could settle on one media, but that's not me, and I can't do that. So my self-portraits in the background show that there's one in beads that is actually my grandson, as he was an infant with a wise old soul inside. I've played with watercolor and charcoal and wherever I can, I want to learn new things. There's even a weird tapestry weaving that I put in this self-portrait gallery. And these pictures are taken from a show at the Unitarian Church we belong to in Minnesota. So I guess I'm still in kindergarten, and making art makes me happy.
Susan. Hi, I'm still Susan Frohnmeyer. Many years ago, I entered the world of photography when it was still photography. And it was still film photography. It was pretty magical to take pictures of all kinds of special moments. The image on the screen is of a curly garlic spear that I found while I was wandering around a farmer's market. I placed it against a background in such a way that makes what I feel is a peaceful picture. I call it my Zen garlic. I like creating something beautiful or meaningful from a simple subject. Creativity is always waiting within. And I must say, the garlic spear was delicious. However, you could have been looking on the screen at a little girl, about 4 years old, that her father let out of the car next to me at PCC parking lot. There were no other cars in the parking lot. He took out her scooter and helmet and sent her off down the hill in a pink tutu to her first ballet lesson. The kind of moment I love to capture. I call it shooting from the hip. And I shared it with her father. I thought he was rather brave. So if you take a moment and just conjure up a little girl on a scooter in her pink tutu going down a hill, then you've tapped into your creativity as well. I have had the good fortune to go on photo workshops and a photographic safari in Africa. Every adventure has improved my skills and also expanded my world. Photography has taught me to see details and vistas and colors and so much more. I've been able to share my pictures by having them in homes, businesses, and hospitals. And I'm grateful that somewhere in my DNA are the artistic gifts that are part of my creativity. And then, quite by accident, or I call it serendipity, I discovered oil painting about 12 years ago.
Well, I'm still caroling mine. You need to be turned on. Oh, no, it's about to turn me on.
Did I do it?
Yes.
Oh, good. Thank you. I grew up in New York City, and my father was the president of his camera club. And when I was little, he would take me on excursions around the city, which he called mystery trips. And they were mystery trips because I never knew where we were going until we got there. But I always knew that the purpose of these trips was to take pictures. So my dad was my first teacher of photography. As an adult, I've been a grant writer and a copywriter and a community college, mostly a community college English instructor. But about 10 years ago, I started taking pictures again. And now I have about 6,000 pictures on my phone. And one of the results of that is this show of photographs that you see on the walls, which is called Emblems of Joy, Photographs of Trees. And I hope you enjoy it. And the hardest thing about putting this show together was choosing 20 pictures, because I must have about 1,000 pictures of trees on my phone. This one is from my album called Portland Pictures. And if it had a title, I guess it would be Burnside in the Rain from a Bus. I was thrilled to discover what wonderful pictures you can take if it's raining. So I suggest you try it sometime.
Hi, I'm Eleanor Claggett. I am a high school art teacher, and I'm also a mom. So I chose to share a picture from my sketchbook that was a collaboration with my two-year-old. Because I think working with young artists is a huge part of what inspires me and fuels my creativity. And also to show that it's not all polished. It's a process, and one that involves a lot of play. As an art teacher, I get to dabble in like everything. You have to be ready at the drop of a hat to like jump in and teach a photography class or ceramics. So I've done a little bit of everything. But recently I've been trying to kind of carve out some time for personal art making. I've been working on a mixed media series of drawings. And the work I do is usually just pretty personal, about my personal experiences, exploring themes of home and my sense of self in connection with my family and my place that I'm, the place that I'm in. I didn't write things like you guys.
That's because we can't memorize anymore. I lost that somewhere along the way.
Yeah, our memories are short. The question that I chose to reflect on today is, what is the soul of my work? And I think first and foremost, it's what do I love? So it's children and my dogs and my husband and my grandmother. Those things I'm drawn to. Trees, of course, I love trees. But I also love justice and fairness and democracy. And so I chose where I could get two images rather than just one. It's impossible for an artist to choose just one picture, you know. And these aren't my newest work, but they're still, the theme of is still relevant to today. I'm a fiber artist, and the jacket is a repainted, repurposed camouflage, and on the back is beaded non-violent peace force. And so I've also beaded vines and flowers, and it's how do I carry my message out into the world and perhaps be my own gallery space. The flag is my response to 9/11. So it's not a new piece, but it's still one of my beloved pieces. At the time, you may recall, everywhere people were saying, "United we stand," and flags were everywhere. And the question that I asked myself, around what are we united? And I was not united around war, and particularly the war that we were involved in. So this flag has bombers instead of stars, and they're strafing in blood red letters, "United we stand," toward the people of the earth dressed in traditional garb. I used the same silk screen on this jacket, so if you want to see closer up what those people look like. And in very faint print is "We Stand for Peace," and that's the title of this. And so I cheated again because I have a third piece. Wearable art, it's called, you know. And several of you have commented on what a beautiful jacket, and I thank you for that. But it's a tease, because if you get close, the piece is entitled, "What About the Children?" It's a collaborative piece, and the square on the back was done by another artist as the inspiration for this jacket, and I could take it and do it whatever you want. And the black velvet is meant to be soft and soothing, and the colors are bright to be attractive. I'm sort of like the flower attracting the bees. But if you get close to me and have a conversation and really look at the jacket, you will notice that many of the children don't have limbs. So what about the children? So there must be a God who weeps, and I will weep with them and create art in response. Thanks.
That is very hard to follow.
Yeah, right. Oh, you did a good job.
My question that I've been pondering is, what brings me joy? There's a lot of pain in the world, and I think sometimes we have to find ways to seek joy and see where it is in our lives. Oil painting was such a discovery that I'm still amazed that I can even do it. I was in the home of the man that was enlarging my, and printing my pictures, my photographs,
And he introduced me to his wife, who is an oil painter, and has actually displayed here, Julia Phelps. And she said, well, I'm starting an oil painting class about a week, 2 weeks, I think it was. And I just said, sign me up. I had no idea, none. And anyway, I joined the class, and this is one of my favorite pictures, I must say, that I look at it. It's a zinnia. I think, how did I ever do that? I mean, have you ever had that feeling that you do something and then you can't really see how you did it? Well, it wasn't easy, but anyway, that picture still gives me a lot of pleasure. I have it hanging over my fireplace, and I paint from my own photographs. So I had taken the original picture. So I love painting because it is completely different than photography, and it takes me out of the chatter in my mind, in my head. It, you know, I really focus. I have to pay attention, and so even mixing paints. I mean, I love mixing paints because you can come up with the most beautiful colors. And then, you know, putting the brush to the canvas, and then that's the work. And you just have to have a lot of patience. I am not known for a lot of patience. So my teacher has to, you know, say, oh, that's just the first coat, and keep going. And I still am with her. And after 12 years, we're very good friends, and I still take her classes. But I just think that appreciation also is the part of creativity. It's noticing things like, I saw a flock of geese flying over the other day, and you know, the formations are wonderful, and they're chattering along amongst themselves, and I thought, that is really my gift for today, to see that. So I think that the arts bring out something that allows us to see more than we would have otherwise, because it's so easy to just go by and not have anything registered, and most things don't anyway, but you still see sometimes the detail, the texture, the taste, whatever it is, in a little finer way. So I really believe, and everybody has said it this morning, that book was wonderful. It really, we could hardly say more than what was in that book. But I think everybody is born creative, and finding a way to express it can be easy or it can be challenging. But I feel it's so worth it to have interests that bring you joy. And I've been very, very fortunate because I didn't discover any of these things until I was already pretty old. So, thank you.
Okay. All right. In my early 20s, still in New York, I was lucky enough to land a job as the editor's secretary at Modern Photography Magazine. And I think I got that job because in the interview, I told the editor that I was in love with photography. Shortly after that, one day, at the Museum of Modern Art, I came across a book of photographs by the photographer Paul Caponegro. Oh, and I don't know if you can really see that well, but I'll talk you through it. And I fell doubly in love with photography. And I so much wanted to meet him and learn from him, but I had no idea how to do that. He might as well have been on the moon. But a week later, I came across an announcement of a 6-part workshop that he was teaching at his studio in Connecticut. Right away, I signed up for that. And although it was many, many years ago by now, I still remember so many things about that workshop. and about Paul. One of the important things I learned from him was the concept of equivalences in photography, which is the idea that forms in nature repeat themselves in different phenomena. So, for instance, if you look at this picture, this is a picture of an apple. I hope you can kind of see it. Can you see it? I'm hearing yeses and noes. It's an apple on its side, and if it was a better reproduction, the way it's supposed to look, what you would see is all those speckles, little white spots on the apple look like stars. You see that? Good. And so that picture, he titled it Apple, but over the years it has come to be called the Apple Galaxy. In putting together the show on the walls here, I had to come up with titles for each picture. And so for this one, which is over there in the back, I came up with the title Cosmos. And then sometime later, I realized that in choosing that title, I was influenced by Paul's Apple Galaxy. I think that's the way influence works in art. And that's the question I'm answering. Who are your influences? One reason I'm choosing to talk about him today is because he died the day after my show opened. That was on November 10th, a few weeks ago. He was 91. If you'd like to see more examples of his work, I brought with me two of his books, and during the coffee hour, I would be happy to show them to you. So, thank you.
So in preparing this, we all kind of came up with a list of questions and then each chose one that we wanted to speak on. And the one that I chose was, how does your creative process intersect with your sense of spirituality? And that felt meaningful to me because I have in the last few years started to feel like, ooh, people get a lot for meditation. Maybe I should have a meditative practice. And I tried sitting and meditating and felt frustrated with myself that, like, you know, the monkey mind, like, I couldn't tame the monkey mind or... But anyway, I realized that actually I do have a meditative process. For me, it's art making and a few other creative things that I do really do feel like... a practice that grounds me in mindfulness and makes me feel more rooted in my world. And so I chose this one because it was kind of about that theme of kind I'm jumping ahead of what I wanted to say. It's okay. It's about being grounded and using my senses to experience my surroundings. I think when I'm making art, that's one of the times in my life that I truly experience the feeling of flow that I think some people do have when they're sitting in meditation. For me, it's like when I'm getting deep into making something and I forget about my schedule and my everything else, and it's just about what's happening here in front of me and the problem solving that happens there. You lose track of time, you just get... like people say that, like, you're out of your body, but you're also like so in your body. It's a cool feeling. And I've had that feeling with like singing and going on a walk in the woods. But for me, like a really great way to access it is making art. But I also think, like Susan was saying, that like the art making or the creative output is just one part of the creative process, and the other part is the input. And I think they feed off of each other. And I find that, like, when I am deeply engaged in making something, that I also am more connected with my surroundings. Like, if I'm painting trees, all of a sudden I'm looking at trees more deeply. Or if I'm painting faces, like, every face I see is fascinating to me. So it's a trade-off that makes me more connected with the world. And that feels like a way to hook into something bigger. So it feels like there's a touch of something spiritual there that I couldn't put my name on it. I love Georgia O'Keeffe once said, I will paraphrase her. She said something about how she found she could say things with colors and shapes that she couldn't say with words. I'm having a little bit of that right now.
Thank you all so much. I wish we had time for some questions and answers, but we are out of time. And I hope that people will connect with you downstairs. And I think we deserve a round of applause here. So as we extinguish our chalice this morning, we may extinguish the flame of the candle, but the light and the warmth of our being together will go with us throughout the week. So let's all stand and face the front rows, face the back. We'll form some big circles and sing ourselves out with "Carry the Flame of Peace and Love."